Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. I don't know where Dr. Jones is, so GGT, why don't you call in and co-host? Oh, Mike to the rescue. Welcome to the C. Robert Jones Conservative Report. I am Cool Mike. Welcome. Today's guest will be Robert E. Jones, who is a candidate for President of the United States. I see Conservative TNT, who's also in here. And, the music goddess of our Sunday night show. Is that Blue Sky 69 I see? Oh, welcome, everybody. As we begin the show, I have a special song for this special occasion. It's not often you get a presidential candidate on your show. So with that said and done, I'm going to walk over to the switchboard here, and I'm going to play an opening song. Here are the presidents. Well, pretty much most of them, let's see. Let's see. What is that? Don't tell me I didn't upload. Yeah, I know it's there. Hang on. Well, anyway, I do not see it, but I know it is there. So let's just jump to a quick song. Let's see. Well, anyway, we're just gonna have to wait on that. Your call-in numbers, if you have a question, and Mr. Jones, your phone number to call is 347-884-8500, or toll-free, and this is on Dr. Robert Jones's dime, area code 877-666-9300. I'm going to play that president song as we go into our break. I'll just have to upload it because I know I do have it, and I thought I had it on. And we're GGT. Is that you on the line?
No, that's me.
Oh, hey, what's going on, Prez? All right,
all right.
Stand by a second, Mr. Jones. Dr. Jones, I thought was going to be here, and I thought I was co-hosting. It just miscommunication. But anyway, GGT is going to jump in, and so is TNT Conservative, who is also he also has a show. So
okay.
let me play this very cool song. Everybody
okay,
be patient with me for about 10. Let me play that song, and then what we're going to do is we'll jump right into the show. I'll tell you what. You know what? We'll just do it at the break. I'm going to bring our Prez back on, and then we'll just do it at the bottom of the hour because we're going to have him for an actual full hour, and we've already wasted 3 minutes of that. So, Mr. Jones, welcome. Thank you very much for accepting my invitation on this show. I don't know if you know anything about C. Robert Jones, but he is a 30-year retired Marine. So he is very, very involved in this country. And I got to know him on Blog Talk Radio. And basically his show, it's a fiscally conservative show. So, and I don't know, like I said, if you've been involved in it, but we're certainly happy to have you here, and we appreciate you accepting the invitation.
Well, I certainly appreciate you giving me the opportunity, and, you know, we'll see how it goes.
All righty. Well, GGT just private messaged me. He'll call in, can co-host with me, and we jump on Will. And also we have Loki. Mr. Jones, I hope you're ready for some good questions, because Loki is the constitutional scholar of all the people on Blog Talk Radio that I have met. This individual, him and Tesler, who is also here, they are the best there is. So I hope we're ready for some great questions. Why don't I, at this point in time, Mr. Jones, 2-3 minutes, opening statement. You want to introduce yourself and also tell people about your show. You have a show on Blog Talk, and just the floor is yours.
Okay. Well, my name is Robert E. Jones, and I'm running for President of the United States. And I come here on this program freely as a candidate for the presidency of the United States of America. I am an American concerned with the direction of our country. Though I have not run for political office before, life in general is politics as a business owner, even more so. and I promise you I will answer all questions honestly and truthfully. Not to make any excuses, but I may not have answers to all the questions asked, but the ones I can, I will state my positions clearly. Running for President of the United States is not easy, nor should it be. However, I also believe the amount of money one has or doesn't have should not exclude them from this process. After I have completed my portion of this program, I ask that you sincerely consider my potential for the office of the Presidency of the United States. And with that, Mike, I turn it back over to you for the questions.
Okay, well, it is tradition here. Tesler is on the line. His mic is open. And I know Tesler had to kind of juggle his schedule to be here. It is tradition, Dr. Jones, is, when I do this, to have Tesler as a guest. And I'm going to tell you right now, buckle up your seatbelt. Tesler has chased many of my guests right off the air. So he's My questions are basically your standard questions, but Tesler will speak. He'll probably follow up. So, Tesler, with that being said, before we begin, I'd like Tesler to introduce himself as well as tell people about his show, and then go ahead and fire away, Tesler.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. My show is Socialism is Not an Option, which is produced on the weekends. Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, we have the Roundtable Roundup, which is a real free-for-all. On Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, we have the American Exceptionalism Edition, which covers constitutional issues of the day as it relates to current events. And then on Sunday, we have a Hot Topic Edition, which deals with, well, as it says, hot topics like we did last Sunday, whether or not we have a Muslim president. And next Sunday at 4 p.m., we'll be dealing with the issue of abortion and whether or not it's the new genocide. So there you have it.
All righty. Well, Tesler, we did this before with America's Third Party and with Fred Carter. And with that being said, Tesler, go ahead, your question for Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones, with all due respect, and you've been a participant in my shows as well, and I do respect that, and I do like that. However, if you're running for president, why do you spend so much time on BTR? Why aren't you out there getting your issues across?
Well, the primary reason for that is because, you know, when you're running for president, it takes a lot of money, and that was one of the things that I put in my opening statement. And I don't have the money to actually be out on a campaign trail campaigning. And I don't believe that money should be an obstacle for running for the presidency of the United States, although it is. And I understand that it takes that money. But I'm here on Blog Talk Radio because it gives me a format at least that I can have a voice here 2 hours a day if I choose. And then for being here on Blog Talk Radio, that you know, that's one of the reasons why I'm here speaking with you today.
Okay, I appreciate that, but if you know you didn't have the money to run, and if you know you can't raise the money, why even do it?
Well, I can say that I know I didn't have the money to run, but I wouldn't say that I can't raise the money, and that's the reason why I come here on Blog Talk Radio and put my voice out there, because I believe that I have ideas and solutions that's good for the country. And like I said, I don't think that should be an obstacle. If I can't raise the money to run for president, well, then, you know, that my run will be over.
Then how are you raising money for president if you're on Blog Talk Radio? I mean, where can somebody donate? What website do you have for your president?
Well, right now I don't have that set up, but I can tell you I've been here on Blog Talk Radio for several months, and I've had listeners in Washington, D.C. that's listened to some of my programs, and I understand that most people that are running for president have the money to you know, be in the debates and run their campaigns, and as an American, I just don't believe that should be an obstacle for me, because that's just the kind of person that I am.
I understand it shouldn't be an obstacle, but the fact of the matter it is, and even Carter, some of the lesser-known candidates that I've ever heard of, even make and afford a website. I mean, if you're suggesting to me that you can't even afford a website, then that would suggest that perhaps your decision to run may have been a little short-sighted.
Well, I don't believe so, because let's take some of these young kids out here that have the opportunity to go to that aren't fortunate enough to have the monies to go to college, but they have the potential to go to college, but they just can't afford it. But then if they present themselves to the people, then there is that one slim chance that somebody would recognize their potential and then step up to the plate and offer to, assistance. And so even though it could be a long shot, as an American and my dedication to my country, I'm not just going to sit on the sideline and just say, hey, I don't have the money to run, I'm not going to try it. And I understand what you're saying, but I do have a website. I'm doing most of that on my own, and I just don't have it up to par right now where I could present it to the public.
All right. Well, okay. I let my
solutions and my ideas speak for me. And if by chance someone out there likes my ideas and my solutions, then I won't let the money part stop me from my run for presidency. If that is an obstacle, well, you know, sooner or later when the deadlines come up where I have to put those funds in and I don't have them at that time, because I put my trust in God, and if it's God's will for me to run for president, for the presidency of the United States, God will provide.
Okay. Good answer. GGT, you're with us, correct?
Yes, I'm with you.
All righty. GGT, it looks like Kim McKee and I are going to have two shows tonight. Thank you, Tesla, and we'll get back. Tesla does have more questions. GGT, co-host, question for Mr. Johnson, or Mr. Jones, excuse me.
Mr. Jones, thank you, first of all, for participating tonight. My question is, why would I vote for you over any of the potential candidates that have declared that they're running for president so far? What do you have to offer that's different from any of those candidates?
Well, I'm not afraid to come out here and I'll say that you and I have spoke before, and I'm not afraid to come out here and state what my solutions are, and try to tiptoe around the answers. I do have solutions, and as we go along here, some of you will ask me questions on some of the concerns that you have as far as the direction of the country, some of the issues that you have, some of the solutions to the problems that we have. And, your decision will be based on my knowledge of the issues, and also what solutions I can provide, and then you can make a determination whether you would vote for me or not.
Have you ever ran for public office before? Any, on the local level?
No, I have not.
So you...
It's your first big run here.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm 50 years old.
I'm in my home state of Michigan, and we're going to go to Loki. Loki is also part of Blog Talk Radio. He certainly knows a lot about the Constitution. Before Loki begins with a question, Loki, do you want to introduce yourself and tell people about your programs that you have here on BTR?
Oh, I got too many programs. You can just go to the Halls of Valhalla on Blog Talk Radio. They run 7 days a week. But we concentrate on the Constitution of the United States. Now, I don't like to pimp myself that much.
Okay, well, then ask away, Loki.
You're talking about solutions for this nation. Give me one solution that can correct the problems of this country. And by the way, before I ask you to answer that, I want to thank you very much for your service to this nation.
Thank you.
I laid my nephew to rest today. He is a former Marine of the 1-5. And I want to thank you for your service to this nation as a retired United States Marine.
Well, thank you. Well, my father was in the Navy, and my oldest brother, he was in Vietnam, and I was actually in the Army. So I have three brothers, and my oldest brother, and I'm the youngest one. I'm 50 years old, and my father was in the Navy.
Okay. But, again, the question is very simple. One solution, one answer to the problem that is facing this nation today, our republic, what is that one solution?
Well, I think one of the top problems that we have is jobs, and my solution to creating jobs would be to have more conversations with those folks, corporations, and such businesses, on making more investments in creating those jobs, because we all know that the federal government cannot create those jobs. And so one of the things that I don't hear anyone talking about, the folks come out and they say, you know, we want to create jobs, but I haven't heard any plan on creating those jobs. Now, one of the solutions that I have for that is we got to make it an incentive for the businesses, because I think that right now that they don't have the confidence to make those investments in creating the jobs, because there's uncertainty, of course, in Congress and the White House. And so in my opinion, and I want to give the corporations and those folks that are creating the jobs tax breaks, but I want to make those tax breaks incentive-based tax breaks depending on the amount of jobs they've created, instead of just automatically giving them tax break and having faith that they're going to create the jobs. Because if we create the environment for the businesses and the corporations and all those other folks, investors who want to make or create the jobs, then I think they would be more likely to help create the jobs, because we don't want the federal government investing in creating jobs, because that's not the job of the federal government.
Okay. Can I add something else?
Sure.
Yeah, Loki, okay. Go right ahead.
My answer is very simple. One solution to the nation's problems is get back to following the Constitution of the United States and take the federal government out of that business that what they have put themselves in. If we get back to a constitutional government, all these problems go away.
No, I would agree with that.
That's the one solution to the problems that they're facing this nation today. And
well,
it will correct them all.
I think, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think one of the things that we need to do is we need to hold Congress feet to the fire, because you know that at the beginning of this year, Congress promised to attach to all legislation the portion of the Constitution that allowed them to submit that legislation,
mm-hmm.
and that hasn't been done.
Well, it's not going to be done because they don't know the Constitution. That's where the president comes into play. The president has his veto stamp. He can sit there and look at, and look at legislation coming across his desk, and he can look at it and say, this is unconstitutional. I'm vetoing this. The last president that we had that did that was Calvin Coolidge. He vetoed more laws than he signed. And what did we get from Calvin Coolidge? The Roaring Twenties.
The Roaring Twenties. Good call, Loki. Although
I would agree with that, but the problem that we're having with that is, like I said, there was a promise there, and Congress didn't follow through on it. And actually, what legislation has been through Congress, Senate, and to the White House this year?
Well, see, the thing is, this is what the problem is in this nation. We have a government that is passing unconstitutional laws, and the executive, which has the authority to veto that under the Constitution, is not doing such. This is what we need. If you want to be president, if you would come up to me and you would say, I would veto any legislation that is, you know, even 0.1% unconstitutional, and you would do it every time, I would vote for you.
Well, if I may.
In a heartbeat.
If I may, and correct me if I'm wrong, Loki, but I think that we had conversation once before, and like I said, correct me if I'm wrong, that I were to be elected president of the United States, because I have listened to your program many times, and I have also, my listeners, made sure that they go and listen to your program, because I believe in the Constitution.
Well, what I'm looking for here, and for me, is a presidential candidate. I'm looking at, number one, that somebody that understands that he is working for the people, for the states. His job is very limited. He has a job. A president's job should not be to worry about what students are eating in school.
I agree with that.
The president should be worried about foreign diplomacy. President should be worried about national security, ensuring the sovereignty of this nation. And that's it.
I would agree with that.
And
I think the federal government has put their hands in too many things that they shouldn't have their hands in. But the other thing that I think is, you may or may not have seen some interviews of people on streets that don't even know who the Vice President of the United States is.
Well, we have a Vice President that doesn't even know what his job is.
Well, I would agree with that. I was just using that as an example.
You know,
that we gotta ensure that the American people understand what the role of the federal government is and what our role is as American citizens.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you,
no, go ahead.
Robert, but that's my job. That's what I started my show on 4 years ago.
That's why I said, you know, that's why I would look to you if I were elected to president, because I find you the person, and I'm not just saying this because I've said this to you before, because I have found that in everyone in my lifetime that I have ever heard talking about the Constitution, not only do you explain it, but you explain it where folks can understand it.
Oh, see, I wouldn't last. I'm an asshole.
You're not an asshole.
Well, anyway, with that said, Loki, I think a lot of people probably agree. But getting instead of me asking a question, Mr. Jones, we had a question in the chat room, And, you know, this is all about, this is more about the people than it is about me. So basically, the question is, it's a two-part question, actually. Blue Sky 69, who absolutely positively last night just blew up the house on her music show. You guys got to listen to it. It's on GGT's 183 network under music. It's awesome. She wants to know, I want to hear his solution to a possible socialized health care, followed up by Mary 13531, who is the princess of BTR. Her health care was always free for the needy. What will you do to repeal Obamacare, Robert? And my question, Mr. Jones, on top of that is, if we think health care is expensive now, wait till it's free. Do you want to go ahead and answer those questions for the ladies in the chat room?
Okay. Well, your first question was, would I repeal Obamacare? Is that correct?
No, the first question was, you want to hear your solution to a possible socialized health care. Basically,
well,
give us your input on the health care. Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off there.
No, no. Well, no, we can't have a socialized health care system. I mean,
I think what she's asking is, like, what would you do for health care, Mr. Jones, about health, the health care system in this country?
Okay.
Right.
What? Okay. Let me. Okay. Well, as you all know, the Affordable Care Act, and being a presidential candidate, I have to call it by that name because that's the name of the legislation. Of course, we all know how that legislation was moved through Congress, and it was kind of a shady deal. Well, it passed, and it passed on a partisan basis. And there are some of the content of that legislation that has come into question or has been under question, you know, since it was written, before it was even passed. And so there's been a big drive to repeal that, repeal the health care. And, of course, we all know that it's got to move through the system and it's got to go, you know, because we consider it to be unconstitutional, that it has to go to the Supreme Court. And so what I propose while that is happening, because we don't need to sit on the sideline waiting for that legislation, I think that an attempt right now to repeal that legislation, and I think that the Republicans already conceded that at this moment they couldn't repeal it, whether it be that it can't be repealed or they just don't want to spend the time on it to be repealed and the fight to repeal it. I think what they should be doing in the meantime is, you know, start going over the legislation and see what changes we can go ahead and start making on it. Because in my understanding is that they're giving up on the repeal, and the only thing that they want to go after is the mandate. And so what we have to do is we have to go ahead and don't wait, you know, 2 years or 3 years when it's going to be fully implemented before we start going over it with our pencils and seeing what we want to change and start changing those things in that legislation that we want to change. And then, of course, if it gets repealed, you know, we haven't lost anything, because what do? We fight a war to repeal it, or we, you know, go through it page by page, 2,000 something pages. Now we do that now to go ahead and make it better. And so, you know, what do there? I say that don't waste any time. Let's go ahead and sit down and start working on it to fix it. Rather than wasting our time and waiting till it's fully implemented, because you know they're not going to make any attempt after it's fully implemented to repeal it. And what was the other part of your question? Oh, well, that was the whole question, was it?
Mr. Jones, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
If you were elected president, what would be, let's say, your first day in office, what would be one pressing issue? What would be the first thing you would try to solve?
Well, that goes back to the job issue, because I said on one of my programs that the only two things that Congress and the White House is going to be do between now and 2012 is one of them has to do with the debt ceiling, and there was the budget.
What's your stance on the debt ceiling? Even though I already know, because I already asked you, but just for the listeners.
Well, of course, we cannot risk not raising the debt ceiling. However, what we should be doing, rather than seeing how we can maneuver this thing, because, you know, it's the same thing with the extension that we did on the budget, you know, a few weeks ago. When it comes right down to it, you know, we're gonna extend the debt ceiling anyway. However, and this is where
what's the risk if we don't raise the debt ceiling?
Well, where we can put it is, you know, we all have our own budgets at home, and you know, if we don't pay our bills at home, what are those risks? It's a big bad hit. You know, to our credit history for us out here just in Main Street. And so just imagine the effect that it would have with the federal government. And I had a fellow ask me, I think it was last night or a couple of days ago, about that. And I said, well, we need to raise the debt ceiling and then make commitments, firm commitments on how we're going to reduce, you know, the spending. And so, you know, that's the importance of raising the debt ceiling.
What are some of your ideas to cut spending?
Well, the first thing is, you know, there's been a lot of talk about a balanced budget amendment. And I was speaking to a fellow that, Congress is never going to pass a balanced budget amendment, because if it was going to be done, it would have already been done. And so as president, what I would do is I would sign an executive order or some type of paper demanding that the budget would not you know, put us farther, would not exceed the spending for any given year. And so Congress would have the responsibility, along with my responsibility if I were elected president, of making sure that when we did the budget, that the budget would not exceed our the spending in which we're allowed. And
okay,
so let's see. Let's say right now we have a $1.4 trillion deficit. You know, the budget is over by $1.4 trillion. So we got to sit down and find out where we can get that $1.4 trillion.
Mr. Jones, you said earlier that you didn't have any, you know, you hadn't ran for public office before. Why should we trust you to get all these things done? Can you give me a time where you've led a large group of people and came up with a solution to any problem?
Well, that would be something I'd have to reflect on. You know, I have, you know, and it's a minor thing. I can tell you about the personal things I've done myself, as far as, you know, self-discipline. I don't know if some of you looked at my page where even at the early age of 14, I was awarded the American Legion school medal for Americanism and patriotism at the age of 14. and participating in large sporting events, leading parents in sporting events. When I was in the military, I was in charge of battalions of folks with a top secret clearance and responsible for large trains of equipment and personnel. And along with the American Legion Medal that I received at the age of 14, I also received an Army Achievement Medal and also a Good Conduct Medal while I was serving in the military.
Okay, Mr. Jones, right, at this point, I'm going to do a quick break, Mr. Jones. Stick with us,
okay.
Mr. Jones. I'm going to do a quick break. Let's see. Well, looks like we're 3 for 3. I'm going to play this song. This is a song that I found on YouTube while preparing for a show. Here's a song about the presidents, I believe up until Bill Clinton. Sing a song.
Hi ho, do you know the names of the U.S. residents who then became the president and got a view from the White House flew up Pennsylvania Avenue? George Washington was the first, you see. He once chopped down a cherry tree.
President number 2 would be John Adams, and then number 3.
Thomas Jefferson stayed up to write the Declaration late at night. So he and his wife had a great big fight, and she made him sleep on the couch all night.
James Madison never had a son, and he fought the War of 1812.
James Monroe's colossal nose was bigger than Pinocchio's.
John Quincy Adams was number 6, and it's Andrew Jackson's butt he kicks. So Jackson learns to play politics. Next time he's the one that the country picks.
Martin Van Buren, number 8, for a one-term shot at chief of state.
William Harrison, how do you praise? That guy was dead in 30 days.
John Tyler, he liked country folk.
And after him came President Polk.
And Zachary Taylor liked to smoke. His breath killed friends whenever he spoke.
1850, really nifty, Miller, Bill Mosin.
Young and fierce was Franklin Pierce, the man without a chin.
Follows next a period spelling. 4 long years with James Buchanan. Then the South start shooting cannons. And we thought a civil war.
A war, a war that's out of 60.
Up to bat comes old Abe Lincoln.
There's a guy who's really thinking.
Kept the United States from shrinking. Save the ship of state from sinking.
Andrew Johnson's next. He has some fighting debt.
Congress each would impeach.
And so the country now elects
Ulysses Simpson Grant, who would spin and rave and laugh.
While drinking whiskey, all the risky, cause he sailed on his hat.
It's 1877 and the Democrats would gloat. But they're all amazed when Rutherford Hayes wins by just one vote.
James Garfield, someone really hated, cause he was assassinated.
Chester Arthur gets instated, 4 years later he was traded.
But Grover Cleveland really sat elected twice as a Democrat. Then Benjamin Harrison after that, it's William McKinley up the bat.
Teddy Roosevelt charged up San Juan Hill,
and President Taft, he got the bill.
In 1913, Woodrow Wilson
takes us into World War I.
Warren Harding next in line.
It's Calvin Coolidge, he does fine.
And then in 1929, the market crashes and we fight.
It's Herbert Hoover's big debut. He gets the blame and loses too.
Franklin Roosevelt, president who helped us win in World War II.
Harry Truman, weird little human, serves 2 terms in when he's done.
It's Eisenhower who's got the power from 53 to 61.
John Kennedy had Camelot, then Lyndon Johnson took his spot.
Richard Nixon, he gets caught, and Gerald Ford fell down a lot.
Jimmy Carter, like camping trips,
and Ronald Reagan's speeches, scripts all came from famous movie clips, and President Bush said, read my lips.
Now in Washington, D.C.,
there's Democrats and the GOP,
but the ones in charge are plain to see.
The Clintons, Bill and Hillary.
The next president to lead the way, well, it just might be yourself one day. Then the press will distort everything you say. So jump in your plane and fly away.
Well, well, well. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you. C. Robert Jones, Conservative Report. That's actually really cool. Talks about the presidents all the way up until, I believe, Clinton, and kind of in a very cool way. I think if we had a little more of those in today's high schools, it would be a lot easier to teach our high school students the presidents, because I don't think they even learn who they are. Joining me as co-host tonight, GGT. How are you doing tonight?
Pretty good, brother. How about you?
Great. Thank you. Thank you for filling in there when I accidentally fell asleep. Anyway, continuing on, we're going to have Will. Will, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Will, let me see. We have Tesler, who is, his shows are Socialism is Not an Option. Loki, who has multiple shows, both are constitutional scholars in my book. And Will, who also co-hosts this show, as well as he soon may have his own. We join Robert E. Jones, who is a candidate for President of the United States. I don't know if he actually has a party affiliate, but I'm going to assume you can't make the South Carolina, you couldn't do the South Carolina debate because you needed $25,000 there, Mr. Jones. But anyway, Will, you want to go ahead and throw a question in for Mr. Jones before we jump back to Tesla?
Yeah, I can do that. How you doing, Mr. Jones?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
All right, first of all, I do want to say, before I get started, I do respect the fact that you're running for president. I really appreciate that. Now, so far, I've been listening to you, and I've been having a couple of problems. And no disrespect intended, but it sounds like a one long talking point of just conservative points after point after point, especially when it comes to job creation. Every conservative I know says that we should cut taxes for the corporations, even though our Constitution does call for taxation on corporations and such. You want to cut taxes for the corporations, which I, at this point, I'm like, why don't y'all just go tax-free on all corporations, right? Because the problem is, and I really want you to correct me if I'm wrong, if you feel I'm wrong. I really would like for you to correct me. Because we've been giving corporations tax breaks to the point that right now they get tax rebates. Major corporation gets tax rebates. They pay nothing and get rebates. Then on top of that, we have this ongoing trickle-down economics, and nothing is actually trickling down. Our CEOs making more money than ever, right? And the conservatives continuously keep pumping the same rhetoric that we have to keep cutting taxes, right? But nobody's mentioning one thing, because I kept a little mental note of since 2001, since George Bush came into office, and then now Barack Obama's in office, and I'm not blaming anybody. But we have merger after merger of major corporations going, consolidation of every corporation. And I'm saying to myself, this cannot be good for jobs. I mean, it's fine. You want to give them a tax break, right? But then you're going to let them become companies that's too big to fail. I do not understand for the life of me, whether it be a liberal explaining it or a conservative explaining it, how anybody can actually sit there and believe that they can create jobs while limiting competition amongst corporations. And unfortunately, Mr. Jones, like I said, I do respect the fact that you're running, but you're not saying anything different from Huckabee, anything different from Mitt Romney, anything different from Sarah Palin. It's the same talking point. Why is it that nobody wants to address the issue? Why is it that our corporations are allowed to become too big to fail? And as president, if you do see this issue, because right now we have a major merger that's going on. We have merger.
Will, get
I'm
to
sorry?
Your question.
Okay. We have a,
is there
all
a
right,
question?
Real quick. Yeah, there's a question. Real quick, though. We have AT&T about to merge with T-Mobile. That's going to bring up cellular prices as well as put thousands out of jobs. When will you conservatives actually address that issue? You cannot create jobs without competition. Why do you feel that it's possible?
Okay. Well, first of all, I don't feel that it's possible. But let me address the first comment that you made about talking points. If I agree that most candidates running for president of the United States sounds like a bunch of talking points, and let me explain to you why everybody sounds like talking points. I'm not here to promote my program, but on my program, I take each issue, and I may spend 30, 45 minutes, even an hour on one issue, because I can instead of using talking points, I can spell it out in detail the thing that I'm talking about. And why do I say that? Because most of the time when we have debates or when we have question and answer sessions or when we have town halls, we don't really have the time to expand. At least I don't, because some of you have visited my program and see that I'm a long talker. And one of the things that we have to do, and I have to respect the host of this program for inviting me here, there's a certain amount of time that I can use, and so I have to shorten the answers that I'm giving. And so the only thing that I can really do is give you what you would call a talking point. And I understand what you're saying. Now, as far as the corporations are concerned, and the thing that I was saying to you, one of the things that everybody else is doing is they want to give the corporations automatic tax breaks. That's not what I want to do. I want to give them incentive-based tax cuts and then be on the horn with them every single day or every week or every couple of weeks, because the government can't create the jobs. So the position is to give the corporations the tax breaks to create jobs. But I want it incentive-based, and you create the jobs that way, and then we can have the jobs created. And then you don't go around bailing them out if they fail. That's my point. I'm not going. If you decide that you want to invest in a company, and you, for some reason you use all the money or you mismanage your company, then, you know, don't come to me as President of the United States and ask for money, because you're not going to get it, period. That's it. It's just not going to happen.
Okay, with that said, Tesla, why don't you take the next question?
Okay, you know, Robin, I've been listening to you talk for, half hour now. And while I appreciate your stance, it's my honest opinion that if you haven't filed papers to run for president, which you haven't, if you haven't even at least created a website, which you haven't, if you haven't invested any of your own money in anything yet, then how do you expect me to invest in you, sir, when you can't even invest in yourself? Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I have filed paperwork with my Seminole County Supervisor of Elections. I have I don't have the files here in front of me, but the documents that are supposed to be filed, I have filed those. And the majority of the candidates that are out there talking, running around the country talking, they haven't filed the paperwork, and they haven't even announced their candidacy yet. And so, that's number one. And the reason why I'm saying that is because if I decide that I want to, continue this for another year until 2012, and I feel that I have an opportunity to move forward, because I announced my candidacy on April 10th.
Yeah.
And so this is the format that I'm using to start in, as a starting point, because, like I said, I have people all over the country and even up in Washington, D.C., that's hearing what I'm saying. So I'm using this platform in order to get my voice out there. And so I will make a decision.
We got some feedback on your mic. Sorry, Mr. Jones. Tesla, we got some feedback on your mic, if you could shake that up. I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Jones, but I didn't want to mute Tesla. Go ahead.
That's fine.
Well, anyway, okay, GDT 183. Oh, wait a minute. Let's jump to Loki.
Just one moment. Did I answer that for you enough?
Tesla's going to call back. He had to bounce because of his mic, but he'll call right back. So
okay.
So stick
I just
with
wanted
us,
to make
we
sure
only have
that
9
I...
minutes left in your segment.
Okay.
We're going to let Loki ask the next question.
Okay.
Well, I was interested when you were talking about Obamacare, and you know, I realize you, to be politically correct, you can't call it that. But my question is very simple. You mentioned that it should go up to the Supreme Court. My question for you is, who is the final arbiter of the Constitution?
Well, I think that the Supreme Court sets the standard of interpretation of the Constitution.
So you think that the Constitution is subject to interpretation?
Well, the Supreme Court writes opinions, if you want to call it opinions or interpretations. What are we supposed to call that when the Supreme Court makes a decision?
Well, should the Supreme Court be trying to interpret the Constitution, or should they be applying the Constitution to law?
Well, no, that's what they should be doing. I may get the words different, but I'm glad you're asking that question, because you are the you have the expertise in the proper wording that I should be saying.
Well,
but I agree with that statement that you just said.
Can I ask you another question? Who gave the federal government their power in accordance with the Constitution? Who relinquished power to the central government?
To the federal government?
Yes.
Well, I don't think that anyone relinquished the power to the federal government.
Well, they did. The states did.
The states.
The states gave power to the federal government to create the Constitution. They allowed the federal government this amount of power. So again, with that aspect in mind, who is the final arbiter of the Constitution?
Well, I would say it's the state, but if the state gave the power to the federal government,
isn't it the state that says to the federal government, no, we did not give you this power?
Well, if
the thing is, what I'm going at is looking at nullification, where a state, and this first started back in 1798, where the states of Virginia and Kentucky nullified the Alien and Sedition Acts. When they sat there and said that we, as a state, did not give this authority to the federal government, therefore, we, as a state, are not required to follow this law. Do you believe in that statement?
Yes, I do.
Mr. Jones, on a scale from 1 to 10, what would you say your knowledge of the Constitution is?
I'd say maybe it's between 7 or 8. I don't have the knowledge on it that Loki has. But I have a copy of the Constitution on the web page that I'm working on that I read when I have an issue that comes up.
Okay. All right. We got 7 minutes. Is Tesla back on the line, Mike?
Yeah, Tesla is back. I have a question for you, Dr. Jones. How can we have a war on terror if we don't do anything to protect our southern border?
Well, that's actually I agree with that statement, by the way. I agree with that.
Okay, can you answer it, please?
Why do we have a war on terror without securing the southern border?
How can we?
Well, we make attempts of securing the southern border, but we just haven't done a very good job at it.
Okay. Tesler, you want to ask the next question? Thank you, Mr. Jones.
And who was that questioner right there?
That question was from Cool Mike. Tesler will be next with the question.
Mr. Jones, I appreciate the fact that you filed some local papers. I really have, President. And I appreciate the fact that you pointed out that some of these national people haven't filed presidential papers yet, but yet they're being treated as if they were presidential candidates, even though they haven't filed. So I understand all that. But even those like Mr. Cogger and others who are little known have probably no chance of winning, have at least done something to show that they have the ability, or at least they have the heart, to put something of themselves on the line in terms of finances or something to show that they're at least in their own way serious. In all honesty, all I have seen so far, and I'd like you to address this, is I see a BTR radio show. And hell, based on that, you've got some pretty strong folks out there with radio shows who, if they were running for president, would probably get more votes. So the bottom line is, what I'm hearing is, you're hoping somebody in Washington, D.C. will come along and be your sugar daddy. Am I right?
Well, that's the way that you want to look at it. But I can tell you, at some of the shows that I've listened to, probably get more listeners than I do. But because I've listened to just about all of the shows, and to be honest with you, just like all the politicians, and I appreciate that each one of you have certain issues that you talk about and certain things that you talk about, and I'm not looking for anybody to be my sugar daddy, if that's the way that you want to put it. But I just think that as an American, and it's the American way, because every person out there running for a public office is looking for their sugar daddy. And you can't tell me they're not, because they spend every single day on the phone seeing where they can get their next dollar from instead of writing legislation. And so I come here on Blog Talk Radio. You're here on Blog Talk Radio, and a lot of folks here listening to this program are here on Blog Talk Radio. And if this is the route that I have to take, and believe me, I can go down to the bank and get the $25,000 if I want to go to that debate. But I started my campaign. I haven't run for political office. But I'm sure that with my solutions and my ideas that I have for this country, if I'm here on Blog Talk Radio long enough, and like I said, as long as I don't pass the deadlines of fees that have to be paid, well, this is a format that I can get my voice out there. And so, if you want to call that being a sugar daddy, we'll call it, because you need to call that to all the candidates running for office. You can say that about President Obama. He's looking for his sugar daddies and mamas out there trying to raise that $1 billion and all the rest of them.
You're absolutely correct, and I do not disagree with that. But the big difference here is they've been at least, President Obama is in office. He's paid his dues, so to speak, whether you like him or not. He's paid his dues, and he's going to get contributors. Even Donald Trump has agreed to put some of his own money into the campaign if he runs. Others have done the same. To sit back and not do one thing, to take any risk in your campaign, makes it look like you were the biggest sugar daddy of all. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate your position on that, and if that's the way that you want to look at it, you can look at it that way. But the one thing I can tell you is I'm not a quitter, and I'm going to be here on Blog Talk Radio, and when I feel it's time for me to make an investment, if I have to make that investment on my own, and I think it's worth my time to do that, then I will. But that's still not going to stop me as an American, a proud American of my country, coming out here and presenting my potential and the things that I can offer to this country. And if somebody says, you know what, I like the ideas that that guy has, because that's the American way. The American way is not, hey, you know, you got to have a bunch of money to run for president. And it shouldn't be that. That's the way it is, but it shouldn't be that way. And yes,
yeah,
I agree with you that President Obama has paid his dues and getting his $1 billion. But shouldn't the ideas and solutions for the country be more important? And so that's what I'm presenting. And if somebody likes my solutions and ideas, and somebody wants to contribute to my campaign, well, that's the reason why I'm out here talking about it.
Well, Mr. With that being said, why don't you tell everyone how you they can contribute to your campaign, and go ahead, closing statement. I'll tell you, this hour went so fast, Mr. Jones. I wish the show were 3 hours long so we could have you for another 2 hours. But why don't you go ahead, tell people how they can get involved in your campaign, and then the closing statement.
Okay. Well, I don't have a closing statement, and to be honest with you right now, I'm not asking right now for campaign contributions. If somebody really wants I filed the paperwork with the bank and with the elections. I got the bank set up. I have a web page. I don't want to give it out because it's not completed, but I'll give you the name of it if you want to go there and look, and let you know that it's not completed. It's www.iwantmyvotesback.org. And that's not my, but that has an address for if folks want to contribute to my campaign. But like I said, I'm spending my time on, voicing my solutions and ideas for the country. And then when I feel that it's time for me to start receiving contributions, then I'll do so at that time. And I just want to thank everybody for allowing me this time. I certainly appreciate it. And let Dr. Jones know that I appreciate that time. And, Mike, I appreciate your time. And everyone else that had questions for me. And you know as well as G and everybody else here that I can talk. And that's why I was saying 1 hour does sound like talking points. And it would be nice to have more time. And I certainly appreciate all of you giving me this time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dr. Jones. That was Robert E. Jones, candidate for President of the United States. He's still in the chat room, my friends. And you can ask him whether he's running as a Democrat or as a Republican. I'm not sure. But we really appreciate his time. Tonight, in an hour and a half, GGT 183, he and I are going to be on the air. So if you want to join us for that show, feel free. I want to thank Tesla, and I want to thank Loki, and I want to thank GGT as well as Will. You guys have no idea how grateful I am to you. No idea, but thank you very, very much. At this point in time, we're going to bounce from the show a little early so we can continue preparing tonight's show for GGT and I. Let me unmute GGT, is Police State. And all
yes,
of you will be in our chat room. All of you contribute. Go ahead, GGT.
No. I was just thanking everybody for listening.
Yeah, and it's Police State. We're going to talk about the things the United States is doing. No. The rights we as Americans are handing over to government. They're not taking it from us. We're giving it. But it's going to be a great show. This has been kind of a part five series going back, and it just continues to get better and better. I'm not sure if anyone is aware of this, but Chuck Schumer is introducing legislation now for Amtrak, for other trains, as well as bus stations, because lo and behold, in that beautiful mansion they found in Osama bin Laden is a game plan to destroy our rails. But anyway, we're going to bounce from this show. I want to thank Robert Jones, C. Robert Jones, for letting us do his show for an hour. And we will see you tonight. Loki, do you have a closing statement at all?
Oh, you know me. I never have a closing statement.
that's for sure. Thank you, Loki. Sorry to have wasted your time. GGT.
No, you didn't.
Closing statement?
What I couldn't hear you, Mike.
Do you have a closing statement?
No, I don't. I'm good.
All righty, folks. We will see you at 11:30 GGT 183 in the political correct, political conservative setting for Blog Talk Radio. And we also want to thank you for getting us on page one on the popularity. On behalf of C. Robert Jones, Ph.D., on behalf of his helpful co-host, Will, GGT 183, I am Cool Mike. Thank you, and we'll see you at 11:30.